Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Greetings, and welcome to the commentary series on the Way of Perfection by the great Spanish Carmelite nun and mystic, St. Teresa of Avila. I'm Father Timothy Reed. I'm a parish priest, and I am the spiritual assistant to the community of secular Carmelites in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it is a pleasure to walk with you through this magnificent book. I especially want to welcome back all who listen to my other podcast of St. Teresa of Avila's Interior Castle. Now, today is day one, and before we dive into the actual text of this masterpiece, I want to provide a little historical context to this book and to St. Teresa of Avila so that we can have a deeper understanding of the Way of Perfection. Now, without a doubt, St. Teresa of Avila is one of the most marvelous women to ever walk the face of the earth, and she's one of the most important and influential of all female saints in the Catholic Church. St. Teresa was born on March 28th, 1515, to pious and fairly affluent parents in Avila. And as a young child, Teresa enjoyed silent prayer and giving alms to the poor, but she was also a bit adventurous. At the young age of five, Teresa convinced her brother that they should go off in search of Moors and ask them to cut off their heads so that they could be martyrs for Christ in his church. Now, fortunately, one of their uncles found them not too far outside of the city gates of Avila and returned them home. Now, sadly, her mother died when Teresa was only 13. And she says of herself that after her mother's death, she lost some of her piety and became more concerned with worldly things. And so at the age of 16, her father entrusted Teresa to the care of Augustinian nuns. And this is where she first entertained the thought of a religious vocation. Now, like many saints, Teresa suffered through the great interior trial as she discerned God's will, so much so that she became very ill and actually had to leave the convent. And when she was well enough, she eventually entered into the Carmelite Monastery of the Incarnation, against her father's wishes, at the age of 20. Now, once she entered Carmel, she was delighted by the life, and she truly gave herself to it. But shortly after she made her profession, her health deteriorated again, so much so that she actually had to leave the convent. In fact, she nearly died and was paralyzed for 3 years. But miraculously, she experienced a healing through the intercession of Saint Joseph, who would become her lifelong patron. And yet, even though she was able to return to religious life, Saint Teresa suffered with poor health and a variety of ailments for the rest of her life. It was truly quite a cross. Now, although Saint Teresa made progress in prayer, again, not without great difficulty, she believes that she was not really converted until age 40, mostly because of her own worldliness. And her conversion was brought about by a vision she had of the wounded Christ. Now, from that point onward, Saint Teresa really began advancing in the spiritual life, having increasingly ecstatic experiences through which she came to focus more intensely on our Lord's suffering. Moved by her experiences in prayer and bothered by the laxity of life she saw in her convent, Teresa saw the need for reforming the Carmelites. Eventually, Teresa left the Monastery of the Incarnation to found a Carmelite monastery of more strict observance of the ancient rule, which she named after Saint Joseph. And this eventually led to the founding of many Reformed Carmelite monasteries all over Spain. Now, to help her in the reform of the Carmelite order, Saint Teresa enlisted the help of Saint John of the Cross, who would take on reforming the Carmelite friars, while Teresa tried to reform the Carmelite nuns. Now, because of the reforms of Teresa and John actually caught hold, the last 20 years of Teresa's life were dedicated to traveling literally all over Spain, dealing with the opposition and persecutions of bishops, priests, and other ecclesiastical authorities as she endeavored to establish and expand the reform movement of Discalced, or Shoeless Carmelites. Those weren't her worst sufferings, though. Her worst sufferings came at the hand of her various confessors, who often failed to understand the incredible spiritual phenomena that Teresa experienced in prayer. And this led to a terrible sense of isolation and spiritual confusion for many years, as many told her that her experiences were not of God, but were caused by the devil. In fact, Teresa will speak about the importance of good confessors at length in this book, The Way of Perfection. Now, after founding 15 different Carmels all around Spain, St. Teresa eventually died October 4th, 1582. And the cause for her canonization was begun in 1595. She was canonized on March 22nd, 1622. And joining her in that canonization class were St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Francis Xavier, St. Philip Neri, and St. Isidore. Wow, quite a group of people being canonized together. So, what should we say about this book, The Way of Perfection? Well, without a doubt, it's a timeless spiritual classic that is as inspiring today as it was four centuries ago when it was written. Yet, there's some question about exactly when this book was written. Moreover, what you have to understand is that there's more than one edition of The Way of Perfection, which is pretty well explained in the introduction of Tan's version of the book. So, the evolution of this particular edition of The Way of Perfection and the thought process behind it is very well laid out by Father Zimmerman in the introduction. Now, what we know for certain is that The Way of Perfection is a book that St. Teresa wrote expressly because of the desire of her nuns living with her, who, having her seen right for long hours at a time, were naturally eager to receive the wisdom of their spiritual mother. As Father Benedict Zimmerman states in his introduction, the first redaction of The Way of Perfection was likely written soon after St. Teresa finished the book of her life, which was in the late spring or summer of 1565. Now, to this point, the noted Carmelite scholar Father Kieran Cavanaugh opines that Teresa probably wrote this first redaction of The Way of Perfection in 1566. Now, Teresa humbly submitted her writings to a theologian for his approval because she wanted to make sure she hadn't made any theological errors. And because he had edits, she had to write a second redaction that incorporated this theologian's edits. Now, in the past, most historians dated the second version to the year 1569. But now, with improved scholarship, we found that there's lots of evidence to support the idea that St. Teresa actually wrote the second edition in 1566 as well. Indeed, as soon as that original manuscript was returned to her. Now, what Father Zimmerman tells us in the introduction is that it's almost certain that the second edition had to be written before the visit of the Carmelite general in April of 1567, because that led to the foundation of the Carmelite monastery in Medina del Campo in August 1567. Now, the founding of the monastery in Medina del Campo was a great landmark in Teresa's life because this was her first foundation outside of St. Joseph's in Avila. And writing as personally as she does, Zimmerman and other modern scholars are confident that St. Teresa would have mentioned the foundation at Medina del Campo in this book had she still been engaged in writing The Way of Perfection. So that's why they think she had the book done by that time. They're confident that it was written before the Carmelite monastery in Medina del Campo came about. Now, both editions of The Way of Perfection still exist. The first edition is conserved and on display at the Royal Library of Escorial, while the second is in Teresa's own monastery of Carmelite nuns in Valladolid, which was founded in 1568. In fact, the Tan edition of The Way of Perfection contains the preface of the first edition, which was written by the Archbishop of Evora. Now keep in mind too that this book was written after Saint Teresa was able to move into the first convent she founded, Saint Joseph's in Avila. Now, getting permission to move into St. Joseph's was no small matter, because there were lots of people in the Carmelite order who were very opposed to Teresa's reforms. In fact, she and St. John of the Cross would have to endure many, many years of political infighting and maneuvering in order to bring about their reform. And the infighting that Saints Teresa and John dealt with within Carmel were but a microcosm of the larger storms and tempests enveloping the church throughout all of Europe at this time. So it was the 16th century, and that means the Protestant Revolution was in full swing. And while the Protestant reforms were not hitting Spain, Saint Teresa was very aware of the terrible atrocities being committed in neighboring France by Protestants, and it grieved her deeply. Now, we typically date the genesis of Protestantism to Martin Luther's posting of his 95 Theses on the door of the Cathedral of Wittenberg in 1517, so just 2 years after Teresa was born. By the 1560s, when The Way of Perfection was written, the church was conducting the final stages of the Council of Trent, which in many ways formulated and embodied the Catholic response to the Protestant revolt. Through the Council of Trent, the Catholic Church was reforming herself while also responding to the errors of Protestantism. And all of this is the historical backdrop to The Way of Perfection. It was written in an incredibly turbulent time, both in the church at large and within the Carmelite order as well. Reform was most definitely in the air in the 16th century. And more than anything else, Saint Teresa wanted to help her nuns reform their own souls, make them perfect for their heavenly spouse. What I personally find compelling about The Way of Perfection is that it is the most practical and understandable of Saint Teresa's books. Truly, if you only read one thing she wrote, this is the book that I would recommend. And I say that because it presents her counsels and directives on how one might attain spiritual perfection. There's a beautiful pastoral tone to Teresa's writing, and it's clear that she truly wants to help her nuns to pray better and to become holy, because that's the whole purpose for responding to the call to be a Carmelite nun. As the great commentator E. Allison Pierce once wrote, "Through the entire work, there runs the author's desire to teach a deep and lasting love of prayer, beginning with a treatment of the three essentials of the prayer-filled life: fraternal love, detachment from created things, and true humility." St. Teresa's counsel on these are not only the fruit of lofty mental speculation, but mature, practical experience. Those are the words of E. Allison Pierce. And therefore, what I find is that there's this marvelous simplicity to this book that can actually mask its depth. While it's eminently readable, it's also spiritually sublime and mystically beautiful. But all who read it, whether they be a priest, religious, or layperson, will find exhortations from our Holy Mother Teresa that inspire us as we seek to pray better and to grow in holiness. And so while it was written for her nuns, it's a book for us all. Now, in the coming podcasts, we will work our way through this magnificent book in detail with an eye toward highlighting all of the important spiritual nuggets of wisdom from St. Teresa. As I said, while this book was written for her nuns, the practicality by which St. Teresa speaks of prayer and of finding the way of perfection makes it an efficacious read for anyone serious about the spiritual life. Until our next podcast, I encourage you to think about your own prayer life and the progress you've made so far in the way of perfection. St. Teresa once said, "Whoever has not begun the practice of prayer, I beg for the love of the Lord not to go without so great a good. There is nothing here to fear, but only something to desire." And so ask yourself, my friends, do you engage in prayer on a daily basis? Do you have a regular, established time of prayer each and every day? Or do you have a regular holy hour each week in which you go to adoration? Do you ever cut your prayer time short because of impatience or distraction? More importantly, how serious are you about being perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, as Jesus enjoins us in His Sermon on the Mount? A few chapters later in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says to His listeners, "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Now, these words are a bit frightening, but let's trust that with the help of St. Teresa of Avila, each of us may indeed find that narrow gate, that constricted road, that way of perfection that alone leads to heaven. So, that brings us to the end of day one in our study of the Way of Perfection. Thank you so much for listening and joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we're going to look at chapters 1 and 2. Now, to finish, let's pray the very famous prayer of St. Teresa. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Amen. May God bless you, and may Saint Teresa intercede for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support the commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Way of Perfection and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.